Bibles to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21. Read from verse 2 to verse 6 of Exodus 21. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the 7th year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife, when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and the children shall belong to the master, and only the man shall go free. But if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and children and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. And that's as far as we'll read. Servant for life. A few years back, Karen and I were walking through a mall, and we walked by a Claire's store. Now, for those of you who have young ladies in your family, you will know what a Claire's store is. Middle-aged men don't really know what a Claire's is. But for those young families or those who have grandchildren or nephews or nieces in the young girl to teenager, pre-teenage, you know what a Claire's is. Because Claire's is full of pinks and purples. And Claire's is full of wonderful things to accessorize young ladies with. Necklaces and bracelets and hair stuff. Like, I'm talking to a guy who's gotten on, right? Hair stuff. And, you know, and so Karen and I think we went into a Claire's once, and she was looking for something for either our daughter or for a niece or something like that, a gift. And I walked in there, and I'm just seeing my masculinity escape me. I had to get out of that store because it looked sort of weird, okay? But the one thing that's beautiful about Claire's is that they offer up ear piercing. They offer that to, that's part of their service, is that they give ear piercings. And the one time we were there, you could see right back from the storefront, right to the back of the store. And you could see this little area where there was a young girl. She was probably about 6 years old, I would imagine. And she was sitting on this stool, and she had an attendant on each side of her. She was going to get her first ear piercing. And we were standing in the mall hallway looking in at this. And Mom was holding her hand. And there was a couple of tears, and she wasn't sure. And the attendants, I don't quite know how they did it, but I think that they counted down 3, 2, 1, bam! And there it was, all of a sudden, studs in the ears, and she had her first piercing. With as little pain and as little shock as possible. I think there was a tear shed, but there was also a sigh of relief, and she had her first ear piercings. Today's text talks about ear piercings. An ear pierce, but not for a fashion statement, not because somebody really wanted to adorn themselves, but an ear piercing to make a different type of statement. A statement of devotion to a master. A statement that said, I am yours. Exodus 21 follows Exodus 20, of course. 3 years of seminary will get you that. Follows Exodus 20, but what happens in Exodus 20? What is Exodus 20 famous for? Well, if you take a look back, you'll be able to see it. It's the Ten Commandments come in Exodus chapter 20. And Exodus chapter 20 is set in a certain time. And what is that timeline? But when Israel left Egypt, Israel saw the 10 plagues, they saw the miracles of God, they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, and then they made their way through the leadership of Moses to the base of Mount Sinai. And Moses walked up the mountain of Mount Sinai to receive their instructions from the Lord. And as I mentioned last week, in passing sort of, it was Moses received a lot more than just the 10 commandments when he was there. He received a lot more of instructions, and so it's sort of like the 10 commandments are the summary of everything else that's to come. And as the 10 commandments end, then God breaks it down for Moses a little bit. And this passage that we read today is the first passage that God talks about Hebrew servants. And so it stands to reason that this has carried some importance. This is not some sort of secondary type of instruction here. This is important. This is a for now type of instruction. They need to get on this. Now, why would they need to get on this? Why talk about Hebrew servants? Well, if we take into effect that Israel, after they came out of Egypt, knew absolutely nothing about not being a slave. They were slaves the whole time. For generations upon generations, for hundreds of years, they were in slavery to Egypt. They knew nothing else. They didn't know what it meant to live a freed life. And so they needed some instruction, because if one person became indebted to another and couldn't pay, then that person, to pay off the debt, would become a servant. And so we need to parse a little bit, to break apart the term Hebrew servant, to better understand this a little bit. A Hebrew servant wasn't a servant from another country. A Hebrew servant carried the same promise with him or her as the master did. They were all children of Abraham. They carried the promise. They were all sons and daughters of Abraham. And a servant was not a slave. A servant was one who actually got paid. A servant was one who got paid or paid off a debt. And so that's what the writer is saying to us in Exodus 21 today. He's saying if the servant owes something, if you buy a servant, so if somebody is owed something and he says, well, I need to have the cash for that. And so he says, you can buy the servant and the servant's service then, of course. You can buy the servant, and that servant will work for you until the debt is paid. But this is also the time where God talks about, where God hints at, the 7-year rule where all debts will go free. And so now the servant in God's timeline, how he's laying it out for Moses, is saying, if the servant's debt is paid, if he's done, either because he paid it out or because of the 7-year rule where they were allowed on the 7th year for all debts to be canceled, if the debt was then canceled, then the servant had a choice. He could stay or he could go. He could be free or he could remain a servant under his master. And that was a once-in-a-lifetime choice. And if he chose, then he had to take his ear over to the doorpost in front of the judges and have it pierced with a sharp instrument in order to signify that he is his master's servant. sounds a little far, not far-fetched, but sounds a little archaic for us, doesn't it? The whole idea of being a servant sort of grinds against the way that we live right now, doesn't it? Definitely the world will tell us that we are the kings and queens of our own domain. That we are the ones who need to be served. That everybody else should serve us. But it's sort of a dichotomy. It's sort of a double-edged type of thinking. Sort of a, there's two things here, because our entire society runs on service, doesn't it? If you work for a living, you provide a good or a service for somebody else. You are exchanging money for service or for your work. You are providing for somebody else, which in turn gets you to earn your keep, which in turn you pay money for something, for another good or service. And so our society is telling us that we need to be kings of our own domain, and yet we need to work for a living. And so that sort of rubs, it sort of rubs us the wrong way, but we can't really get around it either. And we sort of want both ways. We want it both ways. But God in Exodus is telling us of a different way, a new way of living in service because you want to, of living in service because it's better for you. And no more do we hear that than in the life of Jesus himself. Jesus, as God's God incarnate, God's own Son, came to serve. In fact, it says it in, I believe it's Mark 10. And I'll just go there for, I believe it's Mark 10. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus did not come to be served. He is Lord of all. And yet he did not come to be served. He came to serve. He came to die for you and I. He came to give up his very life for you and for me. And so if we are to emulate who Jesus is, then we should be willing to serve as well, should we not? We should be willing to serve our Lord and Master all the time, should we not? We should be the ones who take our ear to the doorpost and have that sharp instrument, or maybe more likely to go to a Claire's store and get our ears pierced. It's not happening with me, okay? I'm not that type of guy. No surprise there, really. But God would have us to be a willing servant for him. We are already part of the family. If you are baptized, you are part of God's family, just like the servant in Exodus 21. But your willing service allows for the master to complete his work. So what does that look like? Especially in our days of pandemic. Because frankly, we've been sort of put on hold, haven't we? We've been strapped down, you might say. We've been locked down, and people just can't maneuver. We can't meet the way we would love to. I'm sure that we would love to all come together again. I'm sure that we would love to sing happy birthday to Josh downstairs over a cup of coffee. I'm sure that we would love to have a slice of cake that Lori bought for us. I'm sure that we would love to have a potluck dinner again. I'm sure that we would love just to come together during the week and have and see some of our groups just thrive again. But we can't do that right now. So how can we be of service to God even in our lockdown? Well, first of all, we need to change, we have been doing this, changing the way that we think about things. Prayer is massively important right now. You can do nothing else. You can pray. But prayer is massively important. Calling one another, reaching out, touching base, saying hi, how's it going? How are you? Stupendously massive thing to do right now. Touching base, reaching out, porch visits? Sure. In the middle of winter is really difficult. Maybe we can reach out electronically via Zoom. We're reaching out electronically now, giving you worship. It's up to each one of us as willing servants to reach out to others. Because frankly, when we're in a lockdown situation, we really don't feel like it all the time. I think you'll agree with me on that. We'd love to get together, and that's what we would normally do on a Sunday morning, is we would get together and we would do all those things. We would have the potluck and sing happy birthday and all that stuff. But that's not what we're doing now, and so we need to be more intentional about it. God has given us this time. It's odd, it's weird, it's strange, it's difficult, but God has given us this time. How is God working through your life to improve your connections with people, to improve your relations with others? How are you doing that? And how's it going anyway? I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. But doing it together allows God's will to keep on moving throughout our church so that we can continue to be the light in the community and to each other. We have been given a gift. And the gift is each other and the willingness to serve our Lord. The willingness to bow down and say, yes, Lord, have your way with me, Lord. May it be all about you, Lord. Let's not deny him that willingness to serve. Amen. Let's come to God. Lord, we thank you once again that you have called us to be willing servants. It's not always easy. And sometimes we need to put our foot down and say, yes, now's the time that we will act. We ask God that you would be in the hearts of those who are reaching out and the hearts of those who are being reached to, so that your name, that your word, that your grace and mercy may continue to everyone, in the church, outside of the church, in the world, as we continue to be your willing servant. Amen.